Praise the Lord. In our second teaching on this series, we look at freedom from the love of self. We saw that the self-life is the monster within, seeking for attention and worship that ought to be given to the Lord. That there is something within, an ugly monster competing for attention that should be given to the Lord. And in this series, which is actually helping us to uproot all that must be uprooted from our lives, in order that we may actually be in the position that we can know the type of revival that God has ordained for us. So today we are handling freedom from all love of the world and from all love of everything that is in the world. Freedom from all love of the world and love of everything that is in the world. Our main reading here is in 1 John chapter 2, the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, what does it say? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. It comes out very clearly, do not love the world. Do not love anything that is in the world. The Living Bible brings this out again. Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love these things, you show that you do not really love God. For when you love these things, you show that you do not really love God. For all these worldly things, these evil desires, they crave for sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, and the pride that comes from wealth and importance, these are not from God. They are from this evil world. And this world is fading away, and these evil forbidden things will go with it. But whoever keeps doing the will of God will live forever. Do not love the world. Do not love anything that is in the world. That's what the Bible clearly tells us. We read it again from James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So the word of God is very clear. If a man loves the world or anything in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James brings it out in a more piercing way. The one who loves the world is considered an adulterer. Not only an adulterer, but an enemy of God. So the lover of the world is synonymous to an adulterer, and he's synonymous to a hater of God. The love of the world, therefore, is not something that a believer should handle lightly. To be termed an enemy of God And one who hates God should make a person tremble. It brings a person down to the same level of the devil, because the devil is the arch enemy of God. How will you feel like if you are told that you are an enemy of God? How will you feel like if you are actually told that you hate God? How will you feel like if you are told that you are an adulterer? They may frighten you. Unfortunately, that's exactly who you are if you give yourself to be a friend of the world, to love the world. What is this world that the Bible actually forbids us not to love? We have heard the Bible says, God so loved the world. Why will God be telling us to love what he hates, to hate what he loves? The Bible talks about the world. But we are going to look at that what the Bible says God so loved is not what he is telling us to hate, to separate ourselves from. In the Bible, the world could be used to signify three meanings. We'll look briefly at them. Number one, the material universe. In other words, this earth in which we are. We read from Acts of Apostles chapter 17, verse 4. He said, the God that made the world and all things therein. Then in John chapter 1, verse 10, he talks about that he was in the world. And though the world was made by him, the world did not know him. We are talking about this earth, this material universe is equally called the world. This is not the world we are talking about. So the earth is also called the world in the Bible. And the inhabitant of the world, the earth, is also called the world. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we read, very familiar verse, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him. Here the Bible talking about the people, the inhabitant of the earth. So there is a world that talks about the earth, the material universe. There is a world that talks about the inhabitant of the earth. But there is also the third definition. The third definition of the world is what we are talking about in this sharing. And as we shall see in the Bible, what is that world that the Bible says, or God said we should not love? It is an organized system with Satan as the head in opposition to God. So when God is telling us do not love the world, he is telling us not to be in friendship with this organized system that has set itself to be in opposition to God. It is a system that is hostile to God and that works against the purposes of God and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. An organized system, hostile to God, and always standing in opposition to the purposes of God. It is an organized system that is sustained, arranged, and sponsored by Satan himself as an alternative to the authority and government of God. An organized system sponsored by the devil himself in order to provide an alternative to God's authority and God's government. It was instituted after the fall of Adam by Satan himself to ensure that the love and allegiance that should be given to God is given to Satan. That's what this world we are talking about is. this organized system, totally in opposition to God, with one clear goal: to establish the reign of the Antichrist at its climax, and now using everything that it can use to entice love from God to love to the devil. It uses the whole cycle of worldly goods, worldly riches, worldly advantages, worldly pleasure, worldly passion to stir men's hearts and seduce them from Christ, so that what should have been used in worship of the Lord and service of God is not being, what should have been used, what was actually given by God to be used to serve God, to be used to worship God, become an obstacle to the pursuit and service of God. I say it again, it does everything so that the worldly good, the worldly advantages, the worldly, all that God gave in order to be used to worship God, to seek God, in order to be used to serve God, is now being used to worship the devil. They become an obstacle to the pursuit and service of God. That's why you hear the Bible talks about the wisdom of the world. There's nothing bad with wisdom, but there is the wisdom of the world. There is the world's good, there's the fashion of the world, there's the corruption that is in the world, there are the things that are in the world. And the Bible tells us, what will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, the Bible also tells us the spirit of the world. So there is a system in opposition to God, hostile to God. There is a system that has set out with an aggressive campaign to steal men's heart from loving God to loving the world. So it becomes very easy to see why friendship with this system that is hostile to God is enmity with God. The world does not agree with God's purposes. The world does not agree with God's God, the goal, the will of God. So the believer is living in the world where Satan has established a system. And this system directly opposes God and is at enmity with God. He is in this world, but he is not of the world. I want us to get that very well. That's what Jesus himself said, that you are in the world, but not of the world. You are in this material world, but you do not belong to this system. The earlier a believer comes to that position where he knows this system is hostile to his master, and therefore this system is equally hostile to him, and therefore he must not maintain a friendship with this system, the better it will be for that believer. The world has its own standard, directly opposed to God's standard and will for the believer's life. As we say, they're hostile to God and hostile to God's people. Any person who wants to keep in step with the worldly system will automatically fall out of step with God. He will fall out of tune, out of his relationship with God. So by setting out to know peace with God, by setting out to love God, by setting out to be given to the will of God, by setting out to follow the standard of God, by setting out to please God, a believer automatically becomes an enemy of the world. That is why every true believer who has embraced the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and who has taken the pathway of pleasing the Lord wherever he is will be hated by the world and by this system. He's actually a target of attack. He's a target of the enemy. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said In the world, you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. You will be persecuted. You will be evil spoken of. You will be treated. You will be rejected. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We cannot serve two masters. Either we decide to become a friend of God and become an enemy of the world, or we decide to become a friend of the world and become an enemy of God. And that's what the Bible clearly says. Love not the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The moment the world becomes pleased with you, happy with you, and the moment the world can accommodate you, you should know that you have fallen out of love with the Lord himself. You have fallen out of love with God. When the world becomes excited, and when the world begins to say, you are church, you are a place of worship, it's an exciting place where they can find peace, where they can actually come, and then it is not odd to them. Know that something is going wrong. That's why in an increasing way, we find the people of God, in an increasing way, the people of God have been accepted by the world because the worldliness is more and more eating into the church. In an increasing way, the music of the church is the music of the world. The sitting pattern in the church is exactly like the sitting pattern of the world. The type of building that the church is putting up more and more is exactly the same type of the building pattern of the world. In an increasing way, the church of the firstborn is falling in love with the world. The world is no longer looking at believers as people to be detested. In an increasing way, there's a marriage relationship between the believers and the church of God and the world. Love not the world. When the church has fallen into the trap of the love of the world, she is caught up with what pleases men. She is caught up with what will bring pleasure to men. She is caught up with what will bring entertainment to men. She is caught up with what will appease the sinful nature. Unbelievers will actually come into the church, dance to her music, enjoy her music exactly the way they enjoy the music in nightclub, and then they will go away still unconverted because something is wrong. The Spirit of God has departed. Because the Lord will not be where he is headed. The Spirit of God cannot dwell in a church that has become worldly. The Spirit of God cannot dwell in a church that has become the mother of harlot, where worldliness is the order of the day. A man's love for the Lord is not measured by what he says. It is measured by how much he hates the world. Those who hate the world more and more, separated from the world more and more, it is in the same way that their love for God is growing more and more. Coming back to our passage in 1 John chapter 2, in 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15 to 17, we see that all that is in the world, we'll read again, stop loving this evil world. Or from the NIV, do not love the world or anything that is in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16 brings us three categories of things that are in the world. For everything that is in the world, for everything in the world, get those three categories. The craving of the sinful nature. The craving of the sinful nature. The King James Version says, the lust of the flesh. There is the craving of the sinful nature. There is the lust of the flesh. The Living Bible says, the craving for sex. That's the first category of things. Craving, the lust of the flesh, the craving of the sinful nature. The second category is the lust of the eyes. What appeals to the eyes? Then the third category is the pride of life. So whatever is in the world and whatever is in the world divided in these three categories, and we will look at them briefly. Number one, the lust of the flesh or the craving of the sinful man. What is it? This has to do with appetite. A craving, a mad craving, a mad desire for food. All over the world, there's a mad craving for food. Most people are no longer living, eating to live. They are actually, most people are no longer, they no longer eat to live. They live to eat. If you look all over, you will see all sorts of restaurants. You will see how people can travel from one town to the other just to go and eat. And what is the impact? The impact you will see all over. The multitude of obese people and the type of diseases that are coming just because people can no longer control their appetite. Then the mad craving for all sorts of drinks, all sorts of alcohol, all sorts of wine that has produced the many alcoholics that we have around. And the consequence will be the mental breakdown you see all over. You also see the mad exaggerated craving for cigarette, for drugs, that has produced the many drug addicts. So there's the craving for what goes into the mouth, the craving for food. That is part of the lust of the flesh. Then there's the craving, the mad desire for sex. If you look at many of the advertisements on the television, on our social media, all that you see, even when people are advertising food, naked women, what does food have to do with naked women? When people are advertising, whether it is a house, whatever it is, they must put a nude picture near. What is it all about? In order to appease to the sexual appetite of people. That is the lust of the flesh. People dress just to appeal to the sexual appetite of the opposite sex, and no longer just of the opposite sex, meaning even now for the same sex. Hardly can you have a movie that is sexually clean. This is all for the sake of the lust of the flesh. Then we come now to the lust of the eye. What is it all about? I'll read again from the Living Bible. It brings it out very clearly. It says, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you. Whatever your eyes see, you even see people moving around. Somebody can travel to a particular town. He has no single coin in his pocket just to go and see things. Move window shopping. The lust of the eyes. It is an exaggerated ambition to buy everything that appeals to the eye. People no longer labor to have what they need. They labor to have what their eyes have seen. Whatever appeals to their eyes, they will get. Cars are no longer built for their durability, but because of their flashy nature, their flashy appearance. And people are no longer just asking, how durable will this car be? People are just looking at how flashy the cars are. Whether it is cars, phones, dresses, buildings, furniture, It is because of their flashy nature and no longer because of their usefulness. Many have filled their homes with all sorts of things, things that they do not need. If you go to your home, go to your wardrobe, go to your sitting room, go to your bedroom, what the quantity of things there will actually tell you the level of the love of the world. We brought nothing into this world and we shall carry nothing out of this world. Why don't you just ask yourself, if the size of your grave, the grave that we dig to contain you, to contain that body when you will be departing, if that the size of your grave was to be dug based on the size of the thing you possess, how many people and for how many years would they dig your grave? Or who cannot keep a distance from what their eyes see have a problem with the loss of the eye. So there's the loss of the flesh, which is a mad craving for things, mad craving for food, mad craving for your appetite, mad craving, exaggerated appetite. That is the love of the world. We come to the third category of the love of the world, which is called the pride of life. What is the pride of life? It is the pride that comes from wealth and importance. So that the mad passion for competition, all is see me, see what I have, see how much money I have, see the type of car I have. Again, the Living Bible tells us the pride that comes from wealth and importance, the pride that comes from your wealth. Wealth came from God, and you are using that wealth to make a name for yourself. The mad competition just to have and have and have, and the passion is not to have because you need, the passion is having in order to outclass others. It is laboring to have the biggest building, the most flashy car. It is laboring to be the first, to be the top of the town. Even you will see churches have fallen into the same trap. The language today is, our church is the biggest in the world. Our church is the biggest in this town. Our church is the biggest. So we are talking about the third category of the love of the world, which is the pride of life. And as we said, it comes from wealth, the pride that comes from wealth and your importance. That has led to the mad competition, the mad passion to be the first, the mad passion for people to see, look at my building, the mad passion for, in most architectural design, you will actually see that the superstructure of most building, the decoration, what finally goes into decorating the building, is far more than what goes into the structure itself. Simply because everybody wants to say, look at how mine is better than yours. It is a mad passion for titles. Apostle this, the greater apostle this, archbishop this, bishop, all sort of titles. That is what the pride of life is all about. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 about the men of old. We are going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37 to 38. What does it tell us? About the men of old, they were stoned, they were sold in tools, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wander in desert and mountain and in caves and holes in the ground. These are what the Bible talks about the spiritual men of old, that the world was not worthy of them. Today, in many places, it is actually said that those who call themselves spiritual, the world is actually worthy of them. They are competing the world. Actually, the church in many places today has outclassed the people of the world. We are pilgrims and aliens here on earth. Here we do not have a continuing city. We look for one to come whose builder is God. And the Lord said, we are to use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. So you can see the reason why the Lord said we should not love the world. That whoever loves the world is an enemy of God. The world is a system in total opposition, hostile to God and hostile to anyone that wants to love the Lord. You will see it in an increasing way even among believers. Whoever set his heart to love the Lord with all his heart will become the enemy of the unconsecrated believers. No believer who has known true consecration will ever give himself to the love of the world, because the love of the world itself is in hostility to his master. So we are called to separate ourselves from the love of the world if the Lord himself will dwell in our hearts, if we will be a friend of God. And nobody can be said to have been revived in his relationship with God if he is not a friend of God. Because we go closer to God to seek him, know him, find him, know him, and develop a deep relationship with God. And that overflowing relationship leads to love for God, and that love for God that finally transforms us into people who can serve the Lord. So how can we know deliverance? How can we know freedom from the love of the world? The first thing, if we know freedom from the love of the world, is that we must first of all accept the world for what it is. It is a system totally against God, and we cannot take side with what is against God. If you will know freedom from the love of the world, you must stop justifying your worldliness. You must reach a point where you tell yourself, I have fallen into the trap of that which is at enmity with God, and I'm going to take a step. You cannot be delivered from what you want to love. You cannot be delivered from something that you have not set your heart to be delivered from. So you must come to that point where you say, the world is evil, and because it stands against my God, I am also going to stand against it. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6 verse 14 tells us the secret for freedom from the love of the world, which is the cross of the Lord Jesus. This is what Paul said: as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus. He said, far be it for me to boast about anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus. Because of the cross, my interest in all the attractive things of the world was killed long ago. He said, I, by the world, by the cross, I was crucified to the world, and the world was crucified to me. My interest in the attractive things of the world was killed long ago, and the world's interest in me is also long dead. That's the secret for freedom from the love of the world. Freedom from the love of the world is the cross. Your interest in the love, in the things of the world must die, and the world interest must also die in you. A moment must reach when you and the world must part company. The cross is the answer to the love of the world. The believer should accept what happened between him and the world on the cross. On the cross, the world was crucified, and you can no longer be afraid of that which was brought to an end. You set your heart to say, it is finished. The believer should renounce every manifestation of the world
and the love of the things of the, that are in the world in his life. Each moment they manifest themselves, renounce them at a go. Renounce every manifestation of worldliness in your life. And whenever they manifest themselves, you renounce them. Take side and tune your heart to no hostility towards everything that is in the world. We use the things in the world, but we do not become engrossed. We do not become captured by them. The believer who wants to know freedom from the love of the world should decide to live like an alien and take an active step to abstain from all fleshy lusts, to abstain from all the lust of the eye, and to abstain from all that has to do with the pride of life. You tell yourself, I will not be caught up with this passion of the flesh. I separate myself. I will not, what my eyes want, I will not give it. My eyes will not control me. I will control my eyes. He must say no to the passion, to each of these passions, each time they rise. What is he supposed to do? He should set out to live a sacrificial life in everything. Set out to live a sacrificial life. Everything above your basic need, set out that you will use it for the perishing souls of men. You will use it to advance the kingdom of God. Whatever you do not use to advance the kingdom of God, you will use it to advance the kingdom of this world. You will advance the kingdom of the enemy. You are a servant of God, a lover of God. Set out that you will not fall into the trap of using the thing that the Lord gave to be used for worshiping him and for serving him to promote the interests of the world. What can a believer do in order to know freedom from the love of the world? We'll look at it as we round up in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. From verse 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, therefore, I ask you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourself as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, if you will know freedom from the love of the world, you must first of all offer yourself to the Lord as living sacrifice. Lay your life on the altar and tell yourself, my life is laid on the altar as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to the Lord. And I set my heart, I will not conform to the pattern of this world. I will not live like them. They are not the one I should copy. I have a pattern, my master, that I will copy. And if you to do that, so you consecrate yourself and you set out that you will not conform to the world. You will not live like them. You will not copy them. You will not fall into the trap of the fashion of this world. You will not fall into the trap of the spirit of this world. You have set your heart that you will be transformed. Set out to be transformed. And that transforming, you have to renew your mind. You have to get your mind renewed. You have to come to define what success is. Success is not in the accumulating of things. Many believers have fallen into a trap of the enemy, where it is their titles that give them success. It is how many cars they have that give them success. It is how many buildings that give them success. True success is to be what God ordained you to be, living for the Lord and accomplishing the thing that God created you and established you in this world to accomplish. You can accumulate all the cars, all the buildings, and still be a moral wreck and a total failure before God. Have your mind renewed. Begin to meditate on the life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. born in a manger. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to say, look, foxes have holes. Birds of the sky have where even to lay their head. But the Son of Man. So if the people had to evaluate Jesus by how much he had, then they would say Jesus fell. But Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We set our lives after him as our model. We shall use the things of this world, but the things of this world will not control us. Money will not control us. And what actually is the world after? The world is after capturing the heart of people so that a moment comes when they will be forced to worship the Antichrist. The believer that does not set his heart against the love of the world today is a candidate to receive the mark of the beast tomorrow. You become a worshiper of the Antichrist. Prepare yourself. Refuse to be enticed after the world. Set your heart and refuse to conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be like them. They are the ones who should come to become like you. Don't set out to become the disciple of the world. Set out to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your mind renewed. Live sacrificially for the Lord. Live with one goal, not to make a name for yourself, but to make a name for your God. Those who love the world are enemies of God. Set out that you will not love the world, and you shall become a friend of God. May the Lord bless you.